call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson is excused. Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skarowski.
Here.
Please rise, join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, the first item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Are there any citizens wishing to speak? Yes, you look familiar.
Yes, I'll speak. Barbara Rourke, library director, and I live at 8527 Willow Point Parkway in Franklin. Just want to tell you a few of the things going on at your Franklin Public Library. Tomorrow night we have the Wetlands Gems program. It's put on by the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Thursday and Friday, we'll be spending time getting ready for our children's fall and winter clothing rummage sale, which helps out the entire community, whether you're a seller or buyer. If you're looking for fall and winter kids' clothes, come to the library starting at 8:30 on Saturday. On Monday night, we've got the Memoir of the Sunday Brunch by Julie Pandel. She's the daughter of Jack Pandel, and she's going to come and talk about that book with our Night Reader Book Club. Then on the 25th, we have our Teen Tuesdays. We're doing stamp art, so we're trying to catch all ages. Of course, when I say all ages, Wednesday we have the health fair in conjunction. Of course, obviously the health department's putting it on, but it's a great resource. Come by, see that. And then on Thursday, we have Frog Water and Little Rev program. Little Rev is one of the Wisconsin Music Industry Award and combination kind of folk, banjo, bluegrass, so... You know, there's always something happening at your Franklin Public Library, and we're going to get you in there one way or another.
Great. Thanks, Barbara. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Now we're going to close the citizens' comment period and turn to the approval of minutes of September 4th, 2012. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Alderman
Wilhelm?
I just want to say that the clerk did a fantastic job working.
Round of applause for the clerk. It was only 18 amendments. Nothing to it.
Yeah, I wonder who put those on there.
And Alderman Taylor, for the record, stepped away for a moment. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Turn to item G1, ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance for the Franklin Business Park.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. For the audience, a number of these items that are coming up have already been hashed out at the Plan Commission meeting. So if you're seeing that there's not much discussion, that's because there's been a lot of discussion in the past. Item G2, ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance to rezone a certain parcel of land from Plan Development District Number 18 to R2 Estate Single Family Residence District. Nicholas Mazos.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 3, ordinance to amend Chapter 15, 3.0423 of the Unified Development Ordinance, Plan Development District Number 18 to allow for a land exchange. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Under discussion, Alderman Taylor.
I think this is important just to quickly note that this is basically a land swap. I mean, this went before CDA and also Plan Commission.
Yes.
Just for the record, at least at this level, it's always been contention that you would have another access point on Ophir Road, 51st Street, and that. I mean, that's what some of the homeowners are afraid. So every time they saw any type of movement, they get up in arms, my phone blows up. With this right here, the Mazos, Nick, he actually owns that property, so it will prevent any road going through. So that's going to put it up. The people on Open Road are extremely relieved that a future road for increased traffic will not take place. So,
okay. Thank you for that clarification. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 5, resolution conditionally approving a land combination for tax key numbers 930-006-00, did I miss one? Four?
Yeah.
Let's go back to four. Resolution conditionally approving a land combination for tax key numbers for the property at 4416 West Oakwood Road and 4625 West Oakwood Park Drive, Nicholas Mazos and June Mazos applicant.
So
is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say that motion carries. Item 5, resolution conditionally approving a land combination for the property located at 4625 West Oakwood Park Drive and 4416 West Oakwood Road, 5C Investments, LLC applicant.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 6, standards and findings, decision of the City of Franklin Common Council upon the application of David W. Behrens, principal of Greenberg Ferro Architecture, Inc., for a special exception to certain natural resource provisions of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance. There is a request by the applicant, that being the Myers Stores, David W. Behrens, to postpone the consideration of the subject matter until October 2nd, 2012, regular Common Council meeting. And before we ask you to vote on this, I'd ask the city attorney, is this in order and proper?
Yes.
Is there a motion to
so
table
second.
To October 2nd, 2012? Alderman Skransky, is that your motion?
Yes.
All right. And the second was Alderman Schmidt. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 7, change order number 1 for Oakwood Road, water main extension, 400 feet west of South 34th Street to 4,200 feet of South 34th Street.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Then moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 8, survey of property owners on the west side of South 76th Street from West Putes Road to West Faith Drive relative to providing sanitary sewer and or water service prior to the reconstruction of South 76th Street by Milwaukee County. Alderman Solomon.
I would like to move that sewer and water goes in on 76th Street prior to the reconstruction of 76th Street.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, all Mr. Bennett.
There's no real rush on this. Half of this is Alderman Olson. Maybe we should wait, table this for the next meeting. The road's been postponed to 2014, so we're no real big rush for this. And I have talked to him. I think he is on the line with Alderman Solomon, but maybe the best thing to do would be to table this.
What's your pleasure?
I moved.
I seconded.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 9, resolution awarding a proposal to certify certain stormwater management basins. Mr. Bennett?
Mayor, we have two developments that we really don't have developers anymore, but we do have a letter of credit, a development agreement. One is Serenity Estates and the other is Franklin Wellness Center. We would like to have a private engineering firm certify to see if their basins meet standards. If they don't, we then have money left in the letter of credits that we can use to be sure they meet the standard. And the third one is Westminster. We've been after them for years to try to get their stormwater basin recertified, and they have not done it. So we recommend that the city take the bull by the horns and have it done and take the cost of it out of their letters of credit or escrow deposits.
Alderman Skransky?
Jack addresses, where are those two? I'm missing one of them on the location.
Wellness Center's on
Wellness
Road. That's the theater and Innovative Health.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Westminster is on 68th and Rosson Avenue. And Serenity States is on 51st Street, north of Rosson Avenue.
And your request for action, Mr. Bennett?
To authorize us to go ahead and accept the prices that we got from three different consultants to do the work.
So, motion in effect?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 10, authorization to begin the initial phase of the second area for the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District's private property infiltration inflow program on South 36th Street from West Madison Boulevard to West Missouri Avenue.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify. Alderman Solomon.
I'd like to make a comment here. We as a council have determined that certain areas of the city are going to need their sewer line inspected from the house to the street. And we do have money to get this started from MMSD. Just to let everybody in the audience know that we checked 33 laterals, and 31 of them are defective and need to be worked on. So this is one of the older parts of the city. Just because it's one of the older parts, that doesn't mean that others are going to be exempt from this as we move forward. But this is very revealing to me when I read this. It just blew me away that that many could be leaking.
Oh, you should hear Mayor Nagenski and Mayor Devine West Dallas.
Okay. So I just wanted to let everybody in the audience know that.
Jack was at all the meetings at the ICC and the Executive Council of MMSD when all the presentations were made, and I think Franklin probably was by far in the best shape in comparison to the other municipalities.
I may have to comment on this. A part of this, too, was that we did do flow testing in our 36th and 37th place were built in the mid-1950s. Actually, while the city was a town at the time, the city didn't become a city until 1956, so this was a year before that. We have done flow testing in Mission Hills and Root River Heights, which are our next two oldest subdivisions, but they were 10 years newer than Ross and Holmes. And while we were very disappointed, we did flow testing, but we had probably one of the worst droughts that we've ever had, and of course we wanted nice heavy rains to do the flow testing. We had enough flow testing to basically initially determine that probably Ross and Holmes is the only area that we have bad laterals. I would like to next year see if MMSD will flow test. We flow tested three places in Mission Hills and three places in Rural River Heights. I'd like to have meters put in next year, kind of verify it, hoping we get some decent rains next year, because unfortunately we did this at normally June, July, April, May, and June are the best times of the year to do flow testing, because that's when we have the most rains. But we extended it one more month and still didn't really capture a heavy rain. We just unfortunately didn't have a heavy rain. But right now it looks like our problems are really limited to the Ross and Holmes area. And that's good for the city, because we'll have plenty of money to pay for all the laterals there, and we'll have money left over to start doing some drainage improvement works that will keep water out of people's basements.
Excellent.
Okay. Motion on the floor? Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 11 is from me. this is coming to you. I requested, as the chairman of the mayors and village presidents, that each municipality take back the draft EMS contract to their respective municipalities and or fire chiefs. Chief, do you want to come up? To look it over, the draft agreement is the result of negotiations that first started with a number of host communities, municipalities over, I believe, at West Dallas. And I think Chief Martins was in that meeting, sitting to my left. I was sitting next to the fire chief from Milwaukee. And then most recently, because there is some urgency to get an answer back for the county executive budget, I had a meeting with EMS management, Paula Lucy and Ken Sternig, along with the fire chief from the city of Milwaukee, Chief Hook, who I think currently represents all the chiefs, and then Mike Jankowski from Hales Corners. What was hammered out was this draft agreement. You actually have two things in front of you. One is the draft agreement, which I have some bias, obviously, because I'm the chief negotiator. But I think it's a better document. It provides more flexibility for management, management being the municipalities, in managing some of their costs. Some of the things that Milwaukee County wanted in the document regarding additional costs for technology and networking issues and things of that type, I basically told EMS management that when we met with the county executive, the two parties were of the agreement that 95% of the existing language works. It works to a mutual benefit to both parties. And so there should only be a little bit of tweaking on this side or that side. And what I got back was something I wasn't really too happy about. I made that known to Ken Sternig and Paula Lucy. Much of their proposals were taken out. As far as I was concerned, as far as the language that inured to the benefit of Milwaukee County that went over and above what we currently had. It said things, it had language like Milwaukee County, or municipalities will do this, municipalities will do that, municipalities will do this, and there was a cost associated with it. I believe between myself and the three chiefs, we were able to persuade them that they really needed to drop those types of proposals. Chiefs were at the last ICC meeting, Chief Hook and Chief Whitaker, who represents the North Shore communities, and I think they're in agreement when I said that I would support the current contract, the draft, which is takes you from 2013 to 2017, and in essence what it would do is plug in something like $4.3 million per year for the operating costs to manage the EMS paramedic program, and that the county executive, if you put it in his budget, if it was included in his budget, the municipalities would not have to revisit it for 4 years, versus I and a lot of the other municipalities having to go down and lobby the county board. You might remember I had many visits to meet with then Chairman Holloway. You remember those, Chief. Very pleasant meetings, being facetious. So the nuts and bolts of the operations would be covered by the draft agreement, and still would not handcuff or hamper the operations of the various departments. Is that a fair statement?
Good summary of that.
Okay. And on top of that, the chiefs wanted a number of operational items also included. And I said, wait a second, we started off with saying 95% of the contract's there, so maybe what could happen is a side letter would be put in place. I think there were 12 items that were ironed out between EMS management and the chiefs, things that did not needed to be included in a contract. So that, too, was ironed out. So what I'm looking for is I'm looking for direction from the Common Council as to whether Franklin should go back to the county executive and say yes to the draft agreement with the plugging in of the dollars for the 4 years. That's item one. Item two is our most favorite subject of the supplemental payments, and I see these as two separate issues. You can say yes to the contract and tell the county executive, yeah, plug that in for 4 years. On the supplemental payment, as you know, we had been asking for $6 million when I first became the chief negotiator three contracts ago. our first meeting with the county executive, who's now the governor, he basically said, I don't see why the county should even be in the paramedic business. So not only did he not like the $6 million figure, he didn't like any figure. And then we did a lobbying effort, we being all the municipalities, the fire chiefs, the fire unions, the part of the aged, the elderly, the disabled, everybody. And the county executive changed his mind. And we had a signing ceremony, in fact, over at Franklin, the Franklin Fire Department. And instead of the $6 million, he agreed to plug in $3 million as a supplemental payment to all of the host communities. Now, what's deceptive here is I say $1.5 million, I say $3 million, I see $6 million. Well, Franklin's share is very, very minor when it comes to the full supplemental payment. I believe for this contract, we're looking at, if we were to accept the $1.5 million, we'd actually, Franklin would be accepting $125,000, where in the past, with the $3 million, we used to get $250,000. And as you all know, that does not go far enough in meeting the needs of the fire department. 8 years ago, it's more than that, it's like 9 years ago, when I first started to negotiate this, we were asking for the $6 million because the price of gas had gone up, electricity had gone up, water had gone up, and wages and fringe benefits had gone up for our personnel. Well, nothing's changed in that time period. And yet, the city of Franklin is still providing, as a host community, services to other non-host communities. So, by accepting the $125,000, we're deficit spending, or we're moving towards deficit spending by covering these other municipalities. Now, the county executive is saying, tell you what, I'll plug in $1.5 million for the next 4 years. So, again, instead of us lobbying to get those dollars, what he's saying is I'll plug it in, with one caveat. It's attached to performance measurements. And I told Paula Lucy, who's the Director of Health and Family Services for Milwaukee County, that I would take this back, and I would endorse the contract, which I am, the draft agreement that you have. But as far as the supplemental payment attached to performance measurements, I would not endorse it. And I would basically ask the chiefs if they believe that this is something that can be complied with, that the chiefs are going to have to recommend the program to the elected officials. And I'll tell you why I'm not endorsing the performance measurements. Many of you know I was a contract administrator for a number of years. I don't doubt that Chris Abley, if this went in place, would honor his agreement. I have no doubt whatsoever. But if there was a change in the administration or a change in the governance, it's conceivable that somebody could say, well, you didn't quite come up to our expectations in this one category. So therefore, you're not going to get the full $125,000, or you may not get part of the $125,000. Now, the chiefs have told me that in many respects, already doing all of this, right? I mean, the party that's going to really be the determiner and whether the EMS paramedic contracts exist or not exist is the city of Milwaukee. They're the big player. They've always been the big player. The fire chief from Milwaukee, when I was meeting with EMS management, said that we're already doing this. It's not that big a deal. Now, when you look, or we look at what's in your packet, I don't know if you have. Let's see. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six-page spreadsheet with, you must meet this, you must do that, you must do this, you must do that. So I just, it's just because of the job that I did for years that I have a real problem with the language. It's too ambiguous. It's not something that I would ever recommend to an employer, that type of language. And so I bring it to you tonight because there does need to be some immediate decisions made. I'm going to be calling an emergency meeting of all the host communities, hopefully by early next week, so that I can get an answer back to EMS management and the county executive. So just to summarize, the draft agreement that you have in front of you, I wholeheartedly support, and I think it's a good document, and it would be wise for you to support. The other portion with the supplemental payment attached to the performance measurements, I need to hear, or you need to hear from the fire chief on that, and then you're going to have to give me some direction because I think this is going to be a very difficult issue.
Chief Martins. Myself and my staff have extensively reviewed the performance measures and pretty much agree with you, what you said, Mayor, that they are, and other chiefs have said that they are basic tasks that we already perform, and we feel pretty confident we can meet those. But that being said, I have the same concerns you do as to who's going to determine if, in fact, we did meet all those task performance measures. And if we didn't, what's going to happen to the funding? Are they going to deduct a certain percentage? Are they going to give it to another agency in the county, or is it going to go to another fire department? Those things are kind of unclear. The other part is that because I'll feel an obligation to make sure that we monitor this very closely, I will have to put some staff time into monitoring that so that we meet that, so that I don't have to come back to you and tell you that we missed out on some money there, even though it more likely would be a small amount. But I wouldn't want to have to do that. So there's going to be some staff time commitment to make sure that that's followed and we meet those expectations.
Okay. Thanks, Chief. Now, I also have to add that in comparison to the last round of talks we had with the county executive's office, he has taken a giant step forward towards the municipalities. The $1.5 million supplemental payment is, in essence, a 100% increase over what he's offered to us in the past, but it's with the caveat of the performance measurements. So I'm going to kind of open this up for debate on the two issues. I'd like to maybe hear from the council members on the draft agreement as to whether, as the mayor of Franklin, I should go back to the ICC and say, well, we're on board with the contract. And then I'd like to take up the performance measurement supplemental payment. So, Alderman Solomon.
I went through this twice, and as I went through it the first time, my first comment was, just as you said, are we doing all of this now? The second time I went through it, is there any equipment we're going to have to buy?
I do not believe so.
To make these standards, we're all set with that.
Adam's a paramedic, so I just haven't done the check.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Those were my two questions.
Okay. And on the contract?
Contract is fine, unless you can up the 1.5 to 3.
A long time ago, I found out my name wasn't Moses, so I don't perform miracles. Alderman Taylor?
Thank you, Honor. Well, I'm okay with the draft agreement, but you're absolutely right. $125,000 is not enough. $250,000 was not enough. $3 million was not enough. $1.5 million isn't enough. Okay? And we're going to sign a four-year deal on this performance? Is that year to year?
Well, I think on the contract, it's four-year.
That's the 4.3.
Yeah. In the supplemental, I would like to go back to the county executive and say that we'd like to separate the tuition.
Okay, because I can tell you, based on, and this topic has been, we've had a lot of discussions, not only here, but in the last couple of weeks down at the courthouse. And even prior, I know a number of my colleagues, I know one of them talked to Chief Martins, that they were not very happy with some of the mayors and village presidents that were speaking out in favor of this $1.5 million, like this was the greatest thing we've ever received, when that wasn't enough. You know, $3 million wasn't enough, so how can you come out publicly in the press saying this is such a great thing? So it kind of tied our hands, because now it looks like that's acceptable. And when the exec comes in with the 0% levy budget and the 1.5 is in there, now we have to try to figure out where to steal it, you know, from some of our department, or raise the levy. Now, I know there's been discussion with me and some of my colleagues down there of trying to find additional money for this. Whether we can get to $3 million, we don't know. But we're looking at seeing if we can get more money. But that would also be then either A, take from another department or another agency, or raise the levy, because I know it's going to be 0% coming in. So I don't think that I can support this performance measure plan. But I mean, especially with 1.5, when we know going in that that's not enough. I mean, have we ever figured out exactly how much it costs us above the $125,000? When before it was $250,000, do we have that number?
Well, I mean, you have the paramedic salary and benefits alone. You have two paramedics on each unit.
Yeah.
You're getting pretty close to that amount right there. You're not even including the fuel and the expense of equipment and the vehicles themselves. So that's the $250,000 was just scratching the surface.
And
so
I know, because I was at the ICC meeting, and I had a number of people ask how it was received, and I said it was, I think it was a cold response. You had two municipalities, both South Milwaukee and Greenfield, basically asked, what happens if we don't sign it? So what happens if two municipalities don't actually sign on? Then what? Do we have to take larger geographical areas? I mean, those are some concerns, obviously.
Well, I think what you need to know, what's on the table, is that there's a possibility that the EMS paramedic program, as we know it, could come apart. And as we all know, with the tragedy in Oak Creek, we saw how police and fire come together and how that appears to work magically. It is not magic. It is hard work. And the core of all of that is the EMS paramedic program. So when you say it comes apart, I've tried to keep it together for three contracts. It's been very difficult.
Well, it has been very difficult. And as you know, and as you just pointed out, that basically a year ago the county exec took out everything. And it was the county board that actually came really close to putting $3 million back into it, but it was one supervisor switched their votes, and so that ended up only being 1.5. But there are some that think that a contract like this and this performance plan is the death of this EMS program, which is maybe what the plan is altogether, is to end it this way, because that frees up 4.3 and 1.5. Because obviously trying to do away with it didn't go so well. And now if you can put together a plan that the municipalities can't live with, and they say forget it, now it can be blamed on the municipalities and not the county exec or the county. So this is going to be, you know, an interesting negotiation on this performance measure plan, because I'm guessing that this conversation is happening in the other municipalities.
Well, in Alderman, you bring up a lot of good points. There is a new county board. We have a new county board chairperson. We have new chairpersons of different committees down there. But I also have to tell you that some of my experience in the past has been that there have been promises made by not the current administration, the former administrations, that, yep, we've got the $6 million, don't worry about a thing. And then 2 days before the vote, get a call, sorry, don't have the votes for that, can't get it done. The last time around, I was assured, a lot of municipalities were assured the $3 million was there. The vote did support $3 million, and then one of the people that was voting for it changed their mind.
Yep.
And so it went back to $1.5 million. So, it's been a bone of contention for a long time. And I've said this publicly. I've had to call Mayor Barrett twice to ask him if he would be willing to take less of the supplemental payment in order to keep the EMS paramedic program alive. And I've thanked him publicly twice because he was willing to bite the bullet and do that. I don't know that that's going to be the case this time around. And it's no big secret that, you know, I've been working with Wheaton Franciscan. I think you all know that. As a backup plan, the chief and I have had discussions. We have looked at consolidation issues just in case, worst case scenario comes about. It's no big secret that other municipalities are having discussions on their own, because we know that the people in Franklin, the people in West Dallas, South Milwaukee, all want to keep the paramedic program in place. But if Milwaukee County no longer provides that, we are going to have to assume that and assume the additional administrative costs, which right now is $4.3 million per year for the county system. So, you know, this is the eighth time I've had to come in here and talk to you about this issue. Just given what happened in Oak Creek, you would just think that this would be such a no-brainer that no one would ever underfund this project. I mean, that is the best example of how mutual agreements come together and work seamlessly.
And I think you're absolutely correct that this is a very valued service and a great deal for the whole area. But when you have departments that are, I want to call it, say, hemorrhaging, but when it's costing them more money to do this. Now, anywhere in the discussion has there been about charging non-host communities a higher dollar amount to help offset some of the cost? Because, I mean, if Greendale loses, you know, their non-host, and Hales Corners non-host, if they lose it, now what do they do?
Well, the answer is yes. And I believe, I'm not an attorney, but I believe that the language that you have in the draft agreement takes you a long ways in if this municipality decided to charge non-host communities more for services, I believe that this contract would help to get you there. Now, would you have difficulty with EMS management saying, well, that's not the deal, and I don't know. I did bring it up during negotiations, though. It was a hot topic.
Because obviously they're the ones, the non-hosts, it's a valued service that we provide. They know that, and they just can't go anywhere and get it.
Well, there's other options. Hills Corners, for instance, could maybe make a deal with
New Berlin. Right.
Or Greendale.
And Greendale is actually going to the paramedic program themselves. They're developing paramedic units right now. So. And I think they sort of anticipated that how fragile the system was, they better be prepared for going their own way. So.
Okay. Well, and at a shared services committee meeting of the ICC, Greendale said that they have been working with Hales Corners. So we don't exactly know what that means. You know it, Chief, firsthand. I mean, you're having a difficult time just keeping the system running with the limited resources that you have, and then you're also providing services to a non-host community.
Ongoing situation, yeah.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is there any objection to me going back to the county executive who is saying we're okay with the draft agreement?
Fine with me.
All right, I'll take that as. And as far as the supplemental payment with the performance measurements, more work to be done.
That's up for grabs yet.
Also have discussions with the chairman of the county board, which we've had in the past.
Okay. Well, I think the budget, that dollar amount is going to be up for grabs, that 1.5. I mean, obviously, not that money be going anywhere else, but additional money because there is a number of us. Because there is something with, if it's emergency expenditures, you can go above the levy right. Limit. So we could raise and give more money to the EMS paramedic program and not bust our expenditure restraint. So that's the kind of stuff that we've been working on with our analysts and stuff like that to figure out if if we can do that, and then how much we want to give. But I think there's a desire under now this, you know, under new rules, to maybe be able to put money, but then that is a levy increase still. But it's for public safety. And maybe we can get some of us live with that.
I think you also may want to give me some direction. I'll put it this way. I don't know whether the city of Franklin has the ability of going into its own service. I don't know what the state law says about that. Worst case scenario, you know, would we want to, I think, I'm almost positive we would want to stay in the paramedic business. And when I say that, we're already doing the collections you know, all the revenue is staying here and all that, which is a significant change. But we may want to look at getting our own license if that's possible. Again, worst case scenario, and maybe taking Wheaton Franciscan up or other municipalities or other entities about becoming the paramedic provider for our community. So I guess I won't ask you for an answer on that. It's just, I think that's something that we should pursue, or I should pursue.
I think that gives us a great advantage, seeing that this is going to be a regional medical facility, and we have that much of an advantage. And I think some of the smaller communities, or communities that don't have that, should look very seriously on partnering with us in order to do that, to do something, save the costs. And even with this 4 years, saying I'll put $1.5 million in there, doesn't say that's the second year that can be cut out altogether, just because it's a budgetary item. So there's no guarantees anything past maybe that first year. You're out of luck.
Well, and I've said this publicly also, and I said I don't have to trust a referendum to know that the people in Franklin, under no circumstances, want to be put under the umbrella of the city of Milwaukee's fire department. So, and that has been tossed out there on more than one occasion. So. All right, thank you. It's given me the direction I need. All right, let's see. Presentation of the Mayor's 2013 recommended budget, review of the budget preparation timetable. As many of you know, I went out camping last week. As a result of that, the departments, Mr. Liberta and Paul and Cal, were all scurrying to try and get a budget put together, take the departmental requests, et cetera, et cetera. Did look at whether we should, or I should contact various aldermen to see what they would like to have included. We revisited the new language of the ordinance. That pretty much was taken care of with the new language, and that given that the Finance Committee is no longer going to be in charge of the budget, the council is, each council member will have the opportunity of submitting whatever they want to submit for their budget or for the overall budget. I think this is my 8th budget since I've been the mayor. It's kind of hard to believe that all that time has gone by. Although the hair, I'm losing more hair, so it must be. You've all heard this speech before, but I'm kind of guilty. I'm the guilty party. When I was the chairman of the Finance Committee, I asked that a motion be made that the Finance Committee no longer put the budget together, but that the budget be put together by the mayor. So little did I know that there would come a day where I would have to put the budget together and then recommend it to the town council. Alderman Solomon was on the, Alderman Solomon was on the Finance Committee at that time. And while there is quite a bit in the ordinance that speaks to the budget, basically, the way I interpret it, it says that annually I must, with the assistance of the finance department and department heads, etc., provide you, the council, with a document, a budget, that will provide like a roadmap for the continuance of services, police, fire, public health, quality of life issues, libraries, streets, roads, sewers, etc., so that the budget will support a functioning city. And then once I do that, it is up to the council to decide what they want to do from that point forward. Clearly, we think it's a good budget because it's the budget we're recommending to you. I asked Cal Patterson just before the meeting that my understanding is the budget that we're presenting will not increase taxes for the average homeowner. It is we're basically keeping the same tax rate. There is a very small tax levy increase. I'd say that's attributable to the fact that we have had new development that has come into the city. We have the Dental Associates, and we've got Gordon Foods, and we've got, now we're working on Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare Complex and building of roads, et cetera, et cetera. We are one of the few communities that actually has net new growth, construction growth. The Rock, we have The Rock, super. That's going to be built. And so the tax levy has to go up a little bit, and I think Silberta can tell you exactly what the number is. It's because we are a growing city. And so I think it's a very responsible budget. I think it will continue all of those programs that we have come to enjoy in this community, things that we take for granted, like the 4th of July, civic celebrations, the library again, which is probably the most popular place in Franklin. St. Martin's Fair. I don't know how many people we had out there this, this last event, but it was in the hundreds of thousands, I'm sure. DARE programs. Again, all of those things that we take for granted. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Liberto. And you might remember that when we restructured things, we moved the budget process and the preparation of that under Mr. Liberta, and then the finance people all are reporting to him now. Mark.
Thank you. It is my pleasure to present to you the mayor's 2013 recommended budget. And let's get this going here. Been sitting still too long. The budget, according to your ordinance, is the financial plan for conducting the affairs of the city. So the budget is as much about the services we provide as it is about the revenues we collect and the expenses we anticipate. And to that end, the most important fact I can say about the mayor's 2013 recommended budget is that it preserves the city services. And while staff and department heads, and it provides them with the tools they need to continue to improve efficiencies and meet our current core service expectations. The affairs of the city, as the ordinance refers to, are the services we provide. However, those must be viewed in context of the taxes that the residents and businesses must pay for those services. When departments submit their budget requests, the ones we received this year were generally for maintaining current services. Nonetheless, the requests we received were $879,000 over available revenues. There was a shortfall that was our starting point in working with the budget. So before it even lands in your lap to finalize, we've had to address an $879,000 shortfall. Had we just funded it through taxes, the tax rate would have increased to $6.02, and it would have been a 4% increase in the tax rate. So that was really the challenge that we had to deal with, how to maintain services while taking that tax rate that would have been at 4% and shrinking it down and maintaining the tax rate of 0%. And the budget actually does it, and that's really the overview, whatever you want to call it, the big picture, the bottom line, in a nutshell. What this budget does is it preserves the city services at no tax rate increase. So the sort of an overview of what I'll go through is I'll run through some some information about the property taxes and assessments. Then we'll go quickly through expenditures and revenues by fund. Then we'll go back and talk about services some, and then I'll summarize the primary initiatives and highlights in the budget. Understanding that structure of the budget, we have 9 different funds that the city uses to provide the structure for our revenues and our expenditures and our obligations. They're listed there for you on the side. This doesn't include the water utility and the TIF districts, which aren't part of this presentation. So I'll summarize each of those in a moment. The assessed values at January 1st for 2011, with the new state restrictions, the tax levy increase is limited to new growth. So our prior property assessed valuations was $3.5 billion. New construction was about $19 million, which is just over half of a percentage in growth. We had other changes that went the other direction for about 0.25%. So the net change in the assessed valuation is just over 0.3%. So with that, and you compare what the middle column there with departments requested, which requires a 4% change in the tax rate. The change that that we've recommended takes that tax rate change down to 0%. So the levy itself then is changing by that same 0.3%. So there is some growth in the levy, 0.3%, which is equivalent to $62,000. And that's the amount that is basically new taxes being paid by new construction that occurred during the period. So, yep. The general fund expenditures in total are going down by 1.2%. So the general fund is remaining very stable with the expenditures staying as constrained as that. And revenues equaling expenditures, there will be no change in the general fund balance. So we did not fund any of that by taking money out of the rainy day fund. The fund balance remains as it was. And with the expenditures not going up, we will qualify again for the expenditure restraint program. The budget anticipated that the expenditure restraint program would be reduced by about $27,000. We'll circle back to that number later in the presentation. A quick summary of the revenues in the general fund that show the most movement. You can see that a number of them, motel room tax, cable franchise fees, those ones are showing permits, utility tax, they're showing some movement in the economy that are generating revenue again. Unfortunately, the interest rates are continuing to fall. Rates have continued to fall. Delinquent tax payments have fallen, and we get interest earnings off delinquent tax payments. And funds that we've had tied up in longer-term investments from the beginning of the sort of the financial crisis are starting to mature. And as they mature and come off, we have to reinvest them, and we're not getting them at the same rates, obviously, we were getting in 2008 and 9, and before that. So interest rates took a significant hit and actually absorbed all of the increases you see there in those individual line items. I'll run quickly through each of those 8 funds up there. The library fund is scheduled, recommended to get $18,000 of additional property tax revenue on a base of $1,222,000 that it got this year. The $18,000 may not seem like much, but the entire general fund, which has a $16 million in property taxes for 2012, is only adding $24,000 in new property tax dollars. So despite the need to use some available fund balance, you can see it anticipates if they spend everything that's appropriated, their fund balance would be reduced by $58,000 there at the bottom. The library actually fared very well relative to the distribution of the new property tax revenues. The solid waste collection fee, the key component of that is that despite the 2.4% increase in revenues, there is no rate increase for 2013 in the user fees. So the increased costs from the recycling program is able to be absorbed within the fund, and there's still some additional slow accrual of fund balance there, which is good. At the bottom of the bottom right of the screen, you can see the fund balance will continue to climb up a little bit and move to 15%. So without having to increase the user fees.
So just in layman's term, $104 remains $104.
Yes, doesn't change. Sanitary sewer fund, that's largely expenditures related to MMSD, and the rates are adjusted based on MMSD charges, and it's, from our budgetary standpoint, it's a very straightforward fund. The capital outlay fund, requests were from departments under the expenditure were $838,000. That was reduced to $658,000, which is about a 21% reduction. But when you look at it, what was funded in the current year, which is about $550,000, it is still a 19% increase over the current year. Nonetheless, in the bottom corner, you can see we still retain at the end of the year about $176,000 in the fund balance, using $124,000. A lot of the capital outlay items are the tools that the department heads need to do their core job and to increase the efficiencies of their job. So that's one reason the capital outlay fund remain fairly heavily funded. The equipment replacement fund, there was a very nominal increase in the tax levy there, just $4,000. There's $403,000 requested, new ambulance and three new pieces of DPW equipment. It's adequate for this year, although it's worth noting that in the long, long term, the total funding represents only 70% of the full funding per the fund balance policy. The street improvement fund is a separate capital projects fund to give visibility to street improvement activities. There was a tax levy increase here of $56,000, which is about 9.2%. Again, historically, this fund has been underfunded, and this is a step to enable us to move a little bit towards filling what you've heard Cal refer to as structural deficits in the past. In this particular year, we get local road improvement monies every other year, and so if you look at the budget, you'll see a local road improvement of $78,000 go away, and that's something that we would see again next year. The debt service fund did decrease its levy by $50,000, which sort of pairs up well with the increase you see put in the prior fund, the street improvement fund. And that just has to do with the debt payment structures as they're built into each individual bond issuance. At the bottom, you can see that we have approximately $12 million remaining due on the library and police station.
But, yeah, Mark, on that, I guess for the benefit of the audience, the debt service fund, you just said that it's we're still paying off the law enforcement center, right?
Correct.
And I thought Cal told me it's 2025 might be our final payment, something like that.
I think it's 2021.
Yeah. So when the decision was made, not necessarily by this council, but by previous councils, the people of Franklin are still paying for that law enforcement center. I believe the library is we're still paying for that, and we're still paying for all of those. Those types of decisions. So this isn't new. It's not something that necessarily is attributable to this council. It's previous councils.
Well, and to that end, you can see also in the middle left-hand column, $206,000 of the payments that are made for that debt service comes from impact fees for new development that has moved in since those two buildings were built, and it help offset the cost of that original construction. So the Capital Improvements Fund, there we go, requests for expenditures were about $6.5 million, which included $2 million in borrowing. Ultimately, what was approved was less than that, including loan proceeds, a borrowing of only $200,000 if all of the projects that are approved, $1.5 million, were recommended. Some of the projects that you'll see in there when you look through the list and review your budgets, the CDBG sidewalk on 51st Street, the Pleasant View Trail, the money necessary to support the grants that you recently recommended moving forward with, completing the roof repair and replacement on Fire Station 1, financial software, police video system that's required, and establishing a contingency of $50,000 so that if unexpected capital improvements come, we have available appropriations. So in balancing the general fund, we really are looking at three ways to do it. You've got that $879,000 shortfall hanging out there. And when we looked at how to do it, you're looking at increasing revenues, reducing services, or trying to do what we're doing, but doing it cheaper. So as far as increasing revenues go, 69% of our revenues are property taxes. Those are capped. Those are, you know, there's very little room under the levy for additional ones if you were so inclined to increase the tax rate, which we weren't inclined to do for this, so that wasn't available. Intergovernmental revenues, shared revenues from the state, those are about 11% of our revenues, again, not within our control to increase them. Utility tax is 5%, so that's 85% of our revenue are really outside of our control to be able to go find new revenues. That being the case, the remaining revenues would all need to be increased 20%. Which isn't a realistic figure for all the revenues in order to fill that. So except for some limited aspect, you're really looking at increasing revenues not being an option for filling that $879,000. As far as reducing, so then you look at reducing services. Well, that's something we've been working on for some time, and since 2006, up there you can see in our general administrative services the amount of layoffs we've had. We've eliminated 40% of building inspection, and between municipal buildings, which is your custodians, building inspection, engineering, planning, and administration and human resources, you've eliminated 25% of those positions. So it gets a little hard to sort of go to those usual suspects and still figure you can do it without seriously impacting services. So if you're trying to do the maintain a budget without impacting services, it gets hard to keep going to these same departments. So what are the other departments? Well, police and fire. This table shows from 1997 through 2011 departments' percent of the total general fund. Police and fire, you can see in 1997, were just under half the budget. They're now current. In 2011, they were at about 62%. And since Act 10 went into place, if I had an opportunity to update this, I think you would see that continue to rise even more. The Department of Public Works has held itself very stable, just under 20% of city operations, general fund operations. All the other departments, which in 1997 were at 31%, have dropped to about 18%. So they've seen almost a 40% decrease, 40% cut in their sort of share of city operations. And police and fire have gone up 25%. So it sounds like I'm sitting here making a case that where we need to look is police and fire for cuts. But if you look at what we're actually spending on police and fire, and this is from an outside source, this is Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, they publish a book every year, of the 23 municipalities with populations between 30 and 150,000, so that's the classification that they analyze that we fit into, Franklin was 20th lowest in funding of police departments on a per capita basis. Only Eau Claire, Janesville, and Oshkosh were lower. So it doesn't suggest that you can really go to your police department to find savings there. When you tie this fact back to the last table, what it says is we've consolidated our efforts to those public safety departments. It's not that they've sort of grown and we've overfunded them. It's just we've consolidated our expenditures there. And this stat suggests that there's not really room to cut there. The report addresses other areas too. General government were 16th lowest. Street maintenance were 21st lowest. Fire and ambulance were 13th lowest. Those four in their combined column were 21st lowest. And a separate category they have is general operating spending per capita, were the 22nd lowest out of 23. There's only one community in our population category spending less per capita than we are. So we're very frugal, and that's why when, you know, annually we've told you how low our municipal tax rates are compared to others, this is an independent source saying that that's the case. So we're either very frugal, very efficient, or we're not providing comparable services. And, of course, you know we're a full-service city. We provide comparable services. There may be some of the communities up in the 100, 150 that have maybe some greater housing programs, maybe some limited social service or parks program more than we do. But for the most part, these are comparable communities, and we're spending less per capita.
Just on that note, I keep telling you all over and over again how good the department heads are, and I think most of you know that. This proves it. You have some of the most talented, most experienced, innovative department heads anywhere, and this is from another agency.
So with looking at that and trying to figure out how to fill that hole, can we reduce services? This budget presumes the city should continue to provide at least its current level of core services. So we did not go in and do layoffs and try to strike out individual components of what we've been doing. So when you look at services, that doesn't become an option for what we wanted because we considered it undesirable. Obviously, you can pluck services out of what we're doing, but that wasn't the mayor's goal with this budget because we don't provide unnecessary or superfluous services at this time. So we have to look at that third one, do what we do cheaper. Well, 81% of our general fund expenditures are for personnel. So that's a bit of a box right there, given that we just looked at where we were overall with personnel. Acts 10 and 32, if upheld, again, you know, I'm sure everyone's heard that a circuit court judge in Dane County ruled it unconstitutional, whereas a federal court judge up north ruled it constitutional a couple months ago. So we'll have to let the court sort those things out because there's
the League of Wisconsin Municipalities just came out with a bulletin probably 2 hours before this meeting, and it's basically saying that, in their opinion, most of the legislation that was put in place will probably stay in place. But we'll see. We'll see how the courts.
And they do give us significant ability to control personnel costs. So some things you will see in the budget, because that's where, as a labor-intensive expense, is, that's where we have to look. We did not add any new staff. We did have some requests for new staff. None were included. There are two reclassifications, one in court and one in engineering, that we did provide some limited funding for because they provided efficiencies and sort of human resource practices that just made sense to do. We did not fully fund the police and fire department overtime request, but we did provide for some increase, $10,000 in each department. And we incorporated and anticipate a number of health plan design changes that will encourage consumerism, meaning making sure as plan participants you're making wise choices in the health plan, and continue the migration toward private sector health plan design. Doing those things, we anticipate that the health premium that we sort of have it as an internal charge for our self-funded program will be reduced by 6%. And I'll be taking the specifics of that to the personnel committee so that they can provide comment back to you. And we'll invite all the aldermen that if they want to get the detail on that and probably more than you would a committee of the whole, please feel free to attend a special personnel committee meeting that I believe will be next Monday. The employee health premium contribution, this budget anticipates increasing from 10% up to 12. Many communities, with the change that WRS did last year, where they jumped to 12 last year, we were able to hold off that move and forestall it for a year to try and make it a more gradual change. Again, this is trying to move toward a replicating what is something more likely what you see in the private sector. The state law doesn't require that public safety, meaning police and fire employees who are new employees starting January 1st, will have to pay 5.9% toward their pension. That isn't a negotiated thing. That's in the law. This does anticipate that the with the new labor contracts that will be negotiated, public safety employees will begin to contribute to their pension, as are others. Employees. It is the trend in the negotiated settlements that we're seeing in comparable communities, and we have anticipated that within this budget. Same thing with public safety wage increases. We do anticipate that it will be consistent with comparables. Again, that those will be negotiated factors. This does build in wage increases for current non-rep general and management employees of 1% January 1st, 1% July 1st. And it does move general employee contributions to the retirement plan to what the WRS employees and participants are paying across the state, which is half of the total contribution. Last year we were able to move it to just 4.2 instead of 5%. And so we've been able to sort of stretch that to 2 years, but this moves it up to the half. It also anticipates converting sort of our legacy DPW retirement plan, which is a defined benefit plan, and moving them to a defined contribution plan. It leaves all of the benefits they've earned in all prior years in place. So we're not eliminating the plan. We're just freezing it to new years of service. So that defined benefit that they've worked for and understood they've had up, you know, through their employment, that would stay in place. But on an annual basis, compared to our defined contribution plan, which is a 10% of wages plan for us, the defined benefit plan has a cost of around 16%. And so it's just something that could not be continued. And it would make sense to move as many of our employees to one consistent pension plan. So a lot of that is the way that we're able to do what we said, which is do what we do cheaper. The city is very labor intensive. And so the budget looks to continue the slow but steady wage increase for non-represented employees. It assumes reasonable and appropriate changes to wages and benefits for represented employees, consistent with what has been negotiated in comparable communities, that's police and fire. And it continues the progress of migrating the city's benefit package towards one that reflects what you see in the private sector and encouraging smart consumerism in healthcare and incorporates more user fees into it. And again, the detail of that, instead of loading it all up here tonight and taking another 20 minutes, we'll start that with personnel committee and then whatever you want at the next committee of the whole. So addressing then the sort of listing some of the primary initiatives and the impacts that you'll see in there, again, said it a couple times, but it's worth repeating, the primary thing you see is it maintains city services at no tax rate increase. The human resource wages and benefit changes, we just sort of itemized the nature of what they'll be and what they'll talk about. That's a primary component of the budget. The library fund and its property tax support, that extra $18,000. It's worth noting that of the total increase of $62,000, 29% of it went to the library. We've enhanced police and fire overtime. And there's no increase in the solid waste recycling fee. We did build in $30,000 for outside legal services. Support for the city attorney is maybe needed relative to his current workload and the issues and the recent influx we've had of large, complex projects of significance and importance that by requirement, he has to put ahead of some of the routine stuff that department heads may need in order to keep the day-to-day business going. So we have built in some funds here to be able to provide him with some support.
Can I just on that second? Many of you are aware of the amount of time and effort that the city attorney, the director of public works, spent on the water case with Oak Creek and how much time may still be needed. Some of you are aware of the amount of time that was dedicated for negotiations for Northwestern Mutual, and should we have to go into another set of negotiations. That was almost a year's worth of work, if not more. We're tied up with the city attorney. The Wheaton Franciscan contract is huge, monumental workloads. And so what this is intended to do is to make sure that our key guy gets to concentrate on the key things and those routine and mundane things that are somewhat of an emergency nature but lower priority are going to be handled.
Well, the landfill agreement in right into the sewer project, you know, right into the water rate case, there's always those major things where you want your best pitcher pitching those. So some of these other issues, if we get more of those big issues, we want to be ready to be able to support department heads in the core basic services as well. So we built in a nominal fee to sort of make sure we have got something to address. There are the two staff classifications in municipal court and engineering, and we can go into those more detail. Nominal costs, but they make sense from a human resources and an efficiency standpoint. We continued the Emerald Ash Borer program. Although it was funded last year with some revenue for the first time, they didn't actually spend much of it. And this budget does not penalize them for not having used it. It continues that to make resources available for that program as the Emerald Ash Borer becomes more of a problem across the city. It does build in a contingency of $123,000 so that you can deal with unexpected or unresolved issues. If you look in the clerk's budget, you will not see money planned yet for the county elections charges. That's still an outstanding issue that very likely will, use up some of this. But I don't know that everybody's resolved themselves that it's a municipal cost yet. So it was not appropriated for at this time, but there's money in contingency. There aren't any specific appropriations other than for the annual staff support that they're provided for the Ford Franklin Economic Development Commission. But there's plenty of money in appropriations to cover the kinds of things you provided them some limited resources for this year. And there is a restoration of the $56,000 to the street improvement fund. That's important because other than police and fire, when you're judged often by outside people, the roads are a primary way you're judged. And it is important for the long-term fiscal health of your community to keep your roads in shape. The bulk of that comes right from debt service, where that was reduced by $50,000 in levy. And it provides continued support for St. Martin's Fair and Civic Celebration. One last thing that is included here is an interim market update property revaluation. The city's always done a full revaluation when it's done it, but there's a separate category provided for by the state called an interim market update that allows them to do a statistical property revaluation. It analyzes the sales, the neighborhoods, the properties, the trends in the marketplace. The state has strict standards and methodologies that they use to do it. But you don't have to go out and drive every house, look at every building, and do it. You can only do that if you've done a full revaluation within the last 5 years, which we've had, and if your numbers fall into certain categories, which ours do. It's also cheaper to do. We can do this and save $18,000 over what would be a full valuation in 2014. That 18 would be split partway between 2012 and 2013. One of the departments I oversee is assessing, and I do receive and hear lots of concerns from citizens that they don't understand how their property still assessed at a certain level when we all you know, have a perception of what's happened to the real estate market over these years. So this would help to improve that citizen confidence in our property valuations, that they more accurately reflect the marketplace. So this is built into the assessing portion of the budget. Going forward, the budget that's before you is $66,942 below the levy limit. So you do technically have room you can levy for. You'll see that we talked about growth being, the growth in the assessed value for new construction was 0.54. You saw that in an early slide. But the way the state does some funky calculations, they told us, nope, but your number is 0.63. So that's the number that is actually our levy cap. But if you use any of that $67,000, that would cause your tax rate to go up from the 0.0 that it's at now. The other thing as we move forward through this process, you should expect some fluidity, because there's always things that, although we've been working diligently for months on this budget, there are things that change. And in fact, I told you at the beginning, we'll get back to the expenditure restraint program. At 3 o'clock today, we opened a letter that we got from the state that told us that the expenditure restraint program was being cut actually dramatically more than we expected.
After the mayor had already made his recommended budget.
Yes, yeah, yeah. After I was fine-tuning this, so that I tweaked a couple slides just to add this in, but that's about $133,000. So that is something we'll be prepared to talk with you about come October 1st, your first meeting. We'll begin to work on that already. But who knows, if you look at the next line there, transportation aids, those come out October 1st. So that may solve the problem or make it worse. But this whole process, the budget process, is always a fluid process. That's why we carry the fund balance we do. That's why we have the contingency we do. But nonetheless, as we get thrown curves, we will work with you to continue to try to address them. This budget is presented to you. Your ordinance says you're going to, part of your motion tonight is to forward it to the Committee of the Whole. For you to begin to deal with there. That is your budget calendar. I apologize for the small font. Yesterday we put it in your mail slots as required by the approved calendar. Today we're presenting it. For the next 2 weeks on the calendar is for aldermen to feel free to contact any department head as they're reviewing the budget and get any direct questions that they want to get out of the way prior to the first meeting of the Committee of the Whole, which is scheduled for October 1st. The next Monday, October 8th, you had set aside as an alternate day for an additional day of work on the budget if needed. On October 11th, which is a Thursday, is when we would send out the public hearing notice. What will go to the papers for the notice is this budget plus any tentative motions made by the Committee of the Whole as recommendations to yourself for changes. So if the Committee of the Whole does have the authority to modify this as to what goes to the public hearing. Just because we've sent notice on the public hearing doesn't mean you can't continue to work on the budget if you've found issues that are unresolved. And so you have a regular scheduled meeting October 16th where you could do it, the public have further conversations on the budget if necessary. And then the publication is published on the 18th. November 5th would be the public hearing. And you had previously scheduled a November 13th special Common Council meeting to look at adoption of the budget. The key sentence right now in that calendar is what the scheduled for this evening, which was aldermen determine or identify additional materials or information needed for the October 1st meeting. So if you have any input or direction, we want you to look at this. Can you pull this together? We know we want these department heads here for the for that meeting. That's what is on your agenda tonight to be able to consider and look at. And that's the presentation.
Okay, and as you said earlier, the aldermen just received the budget.
Last night?
Yeah, last night.
5 o'clock.
So in all fairness, trying to digest, I don't know how many pages this is, 300 and something, is more than a bit unfair. I just want, before I recognize Alderman Taylor, I just want to thank Mark and Paul and Cal for literally putting together an extraordinary presentation and putting it together in a very short time frame, and having the patience to work with me on the phone and having some emergency meetings. So thank you all for doing this. I think a great presentation. Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mark's absolutely correct. I just picked it up today at about 5:30. I didn't get a chance to read more than the first quarter, the first page, and then Mark said we're going to do this slideshow. So can we get copies of these? Because obviously normally that's been in our packet in the past, the slideshow, because you print up copies of that and put it in our mailbox.
Yes, I'll also email it to you. And the reason being, you notice a lot of animation when you do that. That stuff overlaps each other, so some of it's not always clear in a printed version. But I could also forward you the document itself.
Okay, and then without looking at it, I'm just guessing based on the previous four budgets that I've been involved in that we're going to bring certain departments before us typically. And we also just email that to which departments. I mean, the past boys had things like DPW, engineering, police, and fire, because those are the biggest ones. So I'm expecting that you may be requesting that. So how do you want to handle those?
You can email. Probably, I mean, what we've already done is put a standing sort of expectation to each department head to be available for that evening.
Okay.
And if that's the wish of the Common Council, just since you have only a couple of dates scheduled, we can just direct them all to...
Okay.
To be here.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, on the, is there any objection to, we'll take a vote, but any objection to making a vote to refer this to the committee of the whole? Any objection to that? And then because this is a brand new procedure, this is actually the first time this is going in place like this. I feel it's kind of strange because I just gave you a recommended budget and I'd be sitting here chairing a meeting, in essence, in many respects, being contrary to the budget I just gave you. So you may want to take into contemplation whether you want to have a chairperson, the procedures. I mean, in the past, you had the Finance Committee that handled this and asked for the department heads to come in and to do this and supplemental information and all that. But the way I'm looking at this right now, the administration has given you the budget, the mayor's given you the budget, and so what you do with that is going to be up to the council.
I'd make the motion to forward a consideration of the mayor's budget and recommend a budget to the committee of the whole, and that's October 1st.
So moved and seconded. Oh, wait a second. Mike, did you want to go through this again?
Well, so Your Honor, just so I'm clear, typically you're going to be at the meeting, but you're not going to chair it. So if that's the case, then typically if you're not here, then the Common Council President, before I got here and previous mayors, you want that to be the case?
I think it's totally up to the council. So I'm just saying that I haven't been here before. It just seems very, very awkward that I would be, in essence, many subjects arguing against the proposal I just gave you.
Right.
So I'm sure I'll be here. Or if you want me to chair it, I will chair it.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why not. It's up to you.
All right. Well, you can get back to over to Saul.
Since this is the first time we've done this and it has gone to the Finance Committee ever since I've been here, and this is my 12th budget now. I would have to thank Mark and Cal for doing one heck of a good job, and all the department heads also, because I realized a lot of it was sacrificial lambs that had to be proposed here, and everybody has got beautiful projects, I'm sure. Did you happen to find Jack's battleship? Because the Finance Committee has been looking for that for as long as I've been here.
The South Shore Yacht Club.
The submarine we found.
But very good job, gentlemen and ladies. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Solomon, for that. Because the department heads did work. And they're, as you already know, they've been bare bones budgets for the last three or four budgets, and now this is going right to the nth degree. My recollection is when we met that I asked that the, unlike the former budgets, where everything was put maybe into one monumental motion, that each budget be taken up separately, debt service, street improvement. So, and I guess the other thing is, it's my understanding that it will require four votes of the council to pass the budget or budgets. So, just a
majority of form.
Oh, majority of form.
Would adopt.
All right.
Two thirds to change the act.
And that would be for each budget?
Yes.
All right. I got a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you again, Mark. Very good job. And do you want to go to the next item?
Yeah,
how's your throat? You guys.
No, I'm fine. The next item is sort of step one of a two-step process, and that's getting a revised summary plan description for the health
Mark,
plan.
Mark, can I, because I know there's people in the audience that are wondering.
Licensing.
I'm wondering.
Licensing committee, if we could just take up that.
Yeah, you want to do that?
Yeah, let's take up licensing, if we could, Your Honor.
Okay. Alderman Solomon.
Yes, Your Honor. Temporary entertainment and amusement for St. Paul's fundraising gala approved. Temporary Class B beer and wine for St. Paul's approved. I'm going to drop down to the last one. AS Amusements Incorporated approved. Rock Sports Complex new Class B combination is tentatively approved pending surrendering the license from Crystal Ridge. The Rock Sports Complex Extraordinary Entertainment and Amusement is approved pending staff's additional work to make this acceptable to the license committee. We want to work with the individuals and make this happen, but it's going to take a little work within the ordinances. So I'd refer to the city planner on this if he's had time to look up the temporary use.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded under discussion, Mr. Deedle.
There is a temporary use category that we have in the UDO that allows the city to review and potentially approve short-term temporary uses of a property that, while not strictly and clearly permitted by the zoning, can be determined to be accessory and complementary to that use. We have a number of different categories with different restrictions for each category. I believe that this use, the Halloween event at the Rock, would fit most closely with the public interest and special events temporary use. It does have a limit. It must be limited to no more than 6 times per year for each event. And each event shall not be longer than 14 days. So 6 times a year, I believe, and then 14 days at a pop. If it fits within those criteria, and it's been pretty broadly interpreted over the years, it does give examples here of what that can include: outdoor food sale, car wash, other gathering or other gathering for the benefit of the community, is the examples they give. But has been broadly interpreted over the years. It may be a little bit of a stretch, so we may want to take this to the Plan Commission. That has been done before as well. Whatever doesn't clearly fit a category, the staff can take it. So some of these can be determined by staff. If it's not clear, take it to the Plan Commission.
Alderman Taylor?
We have 5 weekends, 2 days, 2 days, 2 days, 2 days, 3 days equals 11. My math is correct. But where does that fall on this?
So 6 times, and each event no more than 14 days.
This is 5 times.
So I believe 5 times, and then 11 days. So I believe it fits under.
Yeah. It'll work out.
As chairman of the Plan Commission, I don't know that this necessarily needs to go to the Plan Commission.
If we're comfortable getting the criteria to the staff, because I'm not aware what issues may have come up during the clerk's review and the licensing committee's review, ours, of operation? Were there any limitations or restrictions that you're concerned about? I would like to know those. We could put those in the staff approval. And then, yes, I agree that we would not need to take it to the Planning Commission.
Taylor, you have the floor.
The only issue is the hours. I think we can let you.
The applicant has agreed that the hours of ticket sales will be limited to no longer than 10:30 at night, and that everyone should be off the property by midnight. That will give them the opportunity to sell tickets up till 10:30 and give them an opportunity then to clear the premises.
Any special coordination with the police department or anything? The
police department is well aware of the applicant's desire to work with us, and they will have security discuss that at length. And
fenced
around the beer tent, so it's limited to what people
or fenced in area to extend the beer tent so that more people can be in that area and have the alcohol be confined to that tent and then fenced in next little fenced area.
So tomorrow you will want to turn around this extraordinary entertainment and amusement to a temporary use permit. And
there is an application and a fee.
There's an application fee for that, but see the city clerk to get that.
Or the planning department.
We'll work with you to make this happen. Okay?
I take it if we need to call a special meeting, there's probably not going to be any objection to that.
No.
Okay. Alderman Scott.
What type of events are you planning?
I'm only aware of the broad details. It's a Halloween event. I believe they want to have some kind of course which families and people can go through. There'll be little stations. I'm not sure what's at the stations or how many. Okay. It's a Halloween event.
Okay, that's one.
Your haunted house.
That's one.
Would you like us to comment?
Yeah.
I mean, so the question was, what kind of events are we planning?
Yes.
Could you please state your name and address for the record?
Sure. My name is Tom Johns. I'll be the general manager. And my address is Glenwood Lane.
Okay.
What type of events, please?
Okay. We're going to have 3 haunted trails.
Okay.
And they'll have different types of scenes and whatnot, and they'll be paraded through. And basically, it will culminate to a chairlift ride up to a hill, and then it'll be another scene up there. And they'd have to walk all the way around and down to get to a beer tent. Or that's what we call it, a beer tent.
Is that one event?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, what's the other 5?
Right. Just it's
within the Halloween season here up until Thanksgiving.
5
weekends. Okay.
Rinse and repeat 5.
All right, I'm just trying to get some clarification when you say the events. I didn't know if you were running them. Different events throughout the part of the year, or because this is an annual permit, so you know, what are you running?
Okay, understood.
Okay, so
right.
One event, 5 times.
Motion on the floor.
Right,
exactly. Okay.
5 weekends.
Motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Mr. City Attorney.
I think Alderman Solomon's motion was that the applicant and staff cooperate towards the wishes, or according to the wishes of the license committee. Mr. Dito's reading the code to apply to this series of weekends. It's going to be an administrative approval, not county council approval, which would be required. So I don't know that any motion is necessary other than simply referring to staff. Because I'm hearing Department of City Development is going to look at issuing a permit administratively tomorrow.
I thought the motion that we have on the floor incorporates all the licenses that are. Is that right?
Yes.
Seconded.
But I concur with this one. Let's take separate action on this one.
Okay. So do you want to rescind your motion and then make a new motion?
Move to approve St. Paul's temporary entertainment and amusement, St. Paul's temporary Class B, Rock Sports Complex Class B, pending surrender by Mr. Cation, and coin machine operator for AS Amusements. Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say the motion carries. Do you have another motion, Alderman Solomon?
Yes, for the Rock Sports Complex Halloween event, refer to staff, both the city clerk and the city planning department.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say have it. Motion carries. Any other business under H1? No? Let's return back to item 13. Revised summary plan description. Mr. Liberta.
The summary plan description is the document that outlines and defines our health and welfare benefits for employees. It's administered by our third-party administrator. It hasn't been revised and updated for over a decade. It's got multiple amendments every time the state or the feds change the requirements. And in that time, the sort of health industry has revised a lot of their language and terminology, and their descriptions and on the same things. What we've been working for 2 years, working through this 100-plus page document, trying to update and clean it up. I'm requesting that you approve it based on the motion that we have here, recognizing that it will come back to you again relative to this budget process to then incorporate the kinds of things that we've talked about in the budget presentation tonight and that the personnel committee will talk about in an upcoming meeting as far as modifications to the health plan. I did take a memo to the personnel committee back in March, which was in your packet, that identified the few substantive changes that were included in here that we believe were deviations from the existing language to meet current sort of healthcare practices. You know, I'll just give one example. Our health plan prohibited you from paying two doctors who were operating on you at the same time. That was so partners of doctors didn't come together and say they both work. But it effectively precluded if you had a major accident, you had one doctor working on a stomach laceration, the other on your head, we couldn't pay them both. And that's really absurd. So we've got the proper consistent language used in the industry for those sorts of things. So I recommend approval based on the motion that we've provided and recognize you'll see this again so that when we bring what the changes to the health plan that we're recommending for cost measures and consumerism, you'll be able to clearly identify them.
Is there a motion in effect?
So moved.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to vouchers and payroll. You have before you a list of vouchers numbers 144226 through 144396. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take a roll.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Franzko.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have a listing of vouchers for September 8th. Is that the same? I'm trying to find out what that is. Are we doing duplication here? Anybody answer that? I think it's the same numbers. I'm just going to go down to the payroll.
Yeah.
You have before you the payroll of September 7th, 2012. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Motion adjourned.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion?
Sure.
Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We adjourn. Thank you once again, Mark and Paul. Good job.